The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Well, here we are on another Sabbath. And since we in the Church of God recognize this day on a weekly basis, I thought it would be appropriate today that we could actually examine some important significance about the day to each one of us. Now, with that thought in mind, I'd like for you to go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Most of you are going to know what we're going to read here, and that's great. But let's go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 8 through 11. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Of course, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke and said." In verse 18, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so, brethren, we please need to understand that any important significance of the Sabbath has the potential and the likelihood to greatly affect our future. And that's something that I think that we need to understand. We need to recognize. We also need to recognize this, that it is and it has the potential to shake all of us out of our routine of what we might consider a peaceful Friday evening Sabbath meal with our family, then a leisurely Sabbath day, Sabbath services, a little fellowship, hopefully a little time for prayer. I know you know what I'm talking about, and I know you know what I mean. Because, you see, it's pretty much all too often routine. We keep the Sabbath almost subconsciously, and I will also add that I think all too often we approach the Sabbath disrespectfully. I mean, after all, there is a Sabbath every week. Week in, week out, year in, year out, one comes every week. And if you're looking at it from the point of view of 52 weeks in a year, if you've been in the church for 10 years, then you've had 520 of them. If you've been in the church for 20 years, you've had 1,040. 30 years, you've had 1,560. If you've been in the church for 40 years, you've had 2,080. If you've been in the church, like some of us, 50 years and more, then we've had over 2,600 Sabbaths. The point being, it can get very routine. It is easy, therefore, for us to get careless and to forget any real significance that the Sabbath day may hold for us, collectively and individually. So, I'd like for us to take a look at what I would consider some important significance of the Sabbath day. I'd like for us to start by going to the book of Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. Beginning in verse 12, Exodus 31 in verse 12. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you, that does set you apart." Verse 14, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord." Did you get that? holy to the Lord? Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Whether the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. In other words, what we see a lot of things from these verses here. But in other words, the one thing we see is God made a continuous, a perpetual, an everlasting covenant with his people. And today, that's us. That's the church of God today. So this is to us. This is talking to us. And we also understand that it is centered upon keeping the Sabbath day holy. So I think that we see the significance pretty important, because after all, God is using his Sabbath day as a sign so that we can know that he is the true God. We also see from this verses that God has cautioned us to do all of our work in 6 days. Not only that, God also tells us which 6 days. And he also has instructed us not to do any work on the Sabbath day. Otherwise, what happens? We risk being cut off. We risk being totally separated from God, being separated from God's people. And we also will ultimately be cut off by being put to death. That's what verse 14 tells us. So I think it's pretty important that we understand that this Sabbath sign is obviously something that is very and very important to us. Even though we may, from time to time, or all too often, keep the Sabbath in ho-hum and just a routine. Also, brethren, what we can realize is, Because of this Sabbath day, this sign of the Sabbath day being so important, and what God says that we can work 6 days, and these 6 days you can work, but this day you don't work, and it's a sign between God and his people so that we will know who God is. All of those things, when you think about it from these verses, from all of these things, we also can realize that because of that, Satan has and Satan will do and use anything in his power or anything under his control to separate us from this sign and thereby separate us from the true God. Please go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. We're going to read just the first part, the A part of the verse. But let's go there. Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. And it says, he shall speak words. The he is the beast. You can read it and see in the context it's what he's talking about. It's not my point here. And he, the beast, shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out. In other words, what he's saying is that he will persecute the saints of the Most High. It's what this wear out is, as some translations will better render it. That's what do you mean, wear us out? You know, persecute is what he's actually saying. And then it goes on and it shall, and think to change the times and the law. Well, brother, what we also should notice here is that it is a prophecy that Satan will try to change the sign that identifies the true God to us, the Sabbath day. That's what it's implying. At least that's part of what that is saying there. He wants to change. He's going to change times and he's going to change law. And obviously the sign of the Sabbath is one of those things that is being affected there. And I think, as we probably all know, that from history, this is exactly what Satan did when he influenced the Roman Empire to enter into a partnership with the great false church. And as a result, Satan changed God's sign from the seventh day Sabbath to the first day Sunday. this Sunday worship, in contrast to God's sign of keeping the Sabbath day holy, is concealed. It's cleverly concealed as a simple tradition, Christian custom. Because most churches that keep Sunday as their day of worship, they know the Bible says the Saturday day is the Sabbath. And so when you try to get in there and you talk to them, I'm talking about the people within the church who know. I'm not talking about the people who really don't ever read their Bible, really don't know anything other than what the pastor or the priest or whoever it is tells them. But the people who really know. If you get in and ask them, say, but which day of the Bible is the Sabbath? They go, Saturday. But, and then whatever their but is immaterial. Because they know this. And you say, well, why you do it then? And sooner or later, somebody's going to come down to it, and it is a traditional Christian custom. They know this. They know this. And throughout history, God's people, God's true people, have suffered and have been persecuted for not accepting this sign of Satan or Sunday worship. And yeah, many have remained faithful to the sign of God, keeping the Sabbath day, yes, even unto death. And yes, I could give you illustrations. I could give you examples. I can tell you about people who are not even we would consider as being part of the body of Jesus Christ today have died for this very principle because they were keeping the seventh day Sabbath and they were put to death over it. So this brings us back to today. This brings us back to this Sabbath. And yes, it also brings us back to all of the remaining Sabbaths for the rest of our lives. What plan does Satan have for us so that he can separate us from the sign of God from the Sabbath and cause us to accept his sign and to turn us away from the true God? Does he have a plan? Is he trying to work anything out? And the answer is, yeah, he has. Yes, he has. Now, there are a lot of things that he's done, so I'm not dealing with a lot of these other things. I'm dealing with this one specific aspect of things of how he has done this. And to begin with, and I want to talk about, is Sunday keeping is already universally accepted throughout the world. And it is accepted throughout traditional Christianity. I think we know this, and I think we need to understand it if we've never really thought about this. And the world, and the whole scheme of things of all the nearly 7 billion people on the face of the earth, we are a very small minority in the world hanging on to the sign of the Sabbath. How difficult will it become to maintain this sign of God in the future? Well, in Europe, for example, in Europe as well as other parts of the world, this beast power that was referred to there in Daniel, in the form of a revived Roman Empire, is again rearing its head, is raising up, you know, rising up again. Now, I also want us to understand, do not expect that it has to be connected with the words Roman Empire for it to still be of the beast power. It's the principle. It's the working of. And so we've hung our thumbtack, our note on this is what it is. It's the Roman Empire. It's the Roman Empire. It's the Roman Empire. Maybe. What we know is he's going to do this. What we know is Satan is going to do this. But anyway, this is still happening and it's happening there. And for one illustration here, they are trying to control the current economic situation going on in the world. Not going into details here, but that is part of Satan's plan. And you ask, this has nothing to do with, or does this have anything to do with the Sabbath and or Sunday? And the answer is absolutely it does. It does. So, at the same time, Satan is in there and he's chipping away at God's sign of the Sabbath day. I want to illustrate something for you. I have printed off of the internet, and I apologize, those of you on the phone couldn't see anything I'd hold up, and those on the internet probably couldn't see it either. But you'll have to take my word for it, and you can go on and just put in Google, this is where I got it, go into Google and put 2012 USA calendar. And this is what came up. This is one of them that came up. Okay. I also went in and put 2012 United Kingdom calendar. And this came up. I also went in and printed current calendar, 2012 current calendar China, and also have one for France. It's a different format. Don't ask me why French are always different, but it is. But here's the point. This is what I'm getting at. You take a U.S. calendar, United States 2012 current calendar, and what we see is that the first, and again, I know you can't see this, but I think you're understanding enough that on every one of the months, it starts as January, February, March, it goes through the thing. The first day on here is Sunday on every one of them. And so it's therefore very easy to score across the seventh day as a weekly Sabbath. That's easy to do. Pretty much easy, right? Okay. That's done. But let's go to the United Kingdom calendar. What's the first day there? Monday. Monday. Therefore, the seventh day is Sunday. China, first day, Monday. French, I don't know if I've even got it upside down. There, this would be this way. French, first day, Monday. Actually, so it's Monday. The last day, Sunday. And it is the case in Germany, and it is the case in all of the European countries. Great Britain is what we would consider as a prophetic Israelitish country. So is France. So are other nations there. And they all use Sunday as the last day of the week calendar, Monday as the first day of the week calendar. I'm not real sure about what the significance is, but in looking this up, what I found very interesting was that Russia and Japan use the same calendar as the United States. Don't know why, but they do. Now, some of you know that I've been around in a church, not for 100 years, it's just, I just look like I've been around for 100 years. But I know it was over 50 years ago when God started bringing me to the knowledge of his truth. And the first real truth that he brought me to was the knowledge and understanding of the Sabbath. And at that time, it was really easy to pick a calendar and to look at the calendar to see and make the point which day is the last day of the week. And it came out that it was Saturday, and it was easy to do, and it was easy to defend, and it was very easy to do that. It's not that easy today. So what does this mean? Well, I would say it means, for one thing, in my lifetime, it means that a whole generation is growing up with Sunday being the day of rest and the day of worship, and to make it biblically more acceptable, Sunday is shown as the seventh day on the calendar in more places. Because I know whenever I started looking at it, I'd go, well, which day is the Sabbath? I mean, you read the Bible, it's, remember the Sabbath day? Oh, that's easy to do. Which day is it? You know, when you make your mind up and God is calling you, you say, well, I'm going to keep the Sabbath, whatever day it is. So where's one of the first places you go? You go to the calendar. Whole generation has grown up that you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to go other places. Now, I had to go to other places to really finalize it and understand it, but you get the point. It's not that easy to use a calendar today. And that is with intent, and that has been done with purpose from Satan. This is, I believe, a fulfillment of the biblical prophecy that Satan is going to intend to make changes of times and the law of God, as was prophesied by God by the prophet Daniel. I think what we see is a fulfillment of it. It's been there now for many years, But that is still the point. It's recorded way back in the Old Testament. It's been around for a long, long time. People should have been able to know. Things are going to happen. You got to look for it. It's happened. However, to say what I've said, not only has Sunday become acceptable socially and theologically, I also want us to look at it from what I would consider to be a more practical standpoint, and that is conducting business. Now, for a short time, I worked as an accountant, and I'll tell you, in the accounting field, it can be very frustrating to use our calendar system. When you look at our calendar system of 31 alternating days per month, and then not even mention February being the 20 with its 28 days, and every 4 years is 29 days, that is confusing. And so you have to do a lot of rearranging if you work in this kind of business. It's simply not very good for statistical analysis. Now, I'm not going into details, but you can take my word or you can go and try and figure it out. But anyway, so it is therefore there are efforts underway to change all of this. There's an article that I've read from this man who created or invented, whichever term we might want to use, and he is heavily pushing, and others are also pushing with him, for a new perpetual calendar. And this new perpetual calendar, this is where each of the 12 months would have 26 business days, or it would have 91 business days per quarter. And you go, yeah. Well, from a mathematical point of view, from an accounting point of view, this actually makes sense. You're going to go, well, what are you saying? I'm saying that this is of Satan. That's exactly what I'm saying. In this calendar, the week begins on Monday and it ends on Sunday. I have a quote from this man. And he states why this is necessary. And looking at it strictly from a practical point of view, I understand what he's saying. I just don't agree with it from a biblical point of view. But I want to read you the quote. The quote is, "The present rule of starting the week on a Sunday, which probably has biblical roots, is illogical because Sunday is not a business day." End quote. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But if you think about this, this is a really interesting concept. This is a really interesting thing to see. Because in other words, what he's saying is never mind all the theological teachings. Never mind the fact that the Bible is clear and it shows that the seventh day of the week is not Sunday. The seventh day of the week is Sabbath, Saturday. Never mind all of that. And never mind, you know, our religious freedom and convictions or any of those kinds of things, because it is a practical matter. And it shouldn't have anything to do with God. It is simply this practical or logical thing to do. And that's what this guy in the article is saying. I'm heavily paraphrasing. I read you one statement, and then I pretty much paraphrase the rest of the article in that short statement. Let's look at this statement again. He said, "The present rule of starting the week on a Sunday is illogical because Sunday is not a day of business." Not a day of business? What do you mean it's not a day of business? Of course it's a day of business. The Bible tells us a day of business. The reason, of course, that I know this is because God said so. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work." That would include the last day of, that would include the first day of the week, i.e. Sunday. It is a business day according to the Bible. The first day, Sunday, is a business day. And besides, have you recently tried to get a parking place at Walmart on a Sunday? Tell me that Sunday is not a business day. There are also proposals for world calendars. All of these have the same end result of doing away with the 7-day cycle of the week. which is what this other man's, I didn't make that statement or make it clear. This is the man that I was telling you, ready to quote from. That's one of his proposals. He does away with the seventh-day week. And so it goes to a business month and a business quarter. So let's go back to the original question and original thoughts that we were talking about. What is the important significance of each Sabbath God gives to us? I have three bullets. I know you like bullets. First of all, each Sabbath is a sign that helps us identify the true God and God's true people. The second bullet, Satan has a counterfeit sign, which is Sunday keeping. Satan has a counterfeit sign, which is Sunday keeping. Third bullet, Satan, through the Roman Empire, and like I said, don't believe that it has to be worded anywhere connected as Roman Empire for it to be still Satan behind all of this. I'm just using that because it's a term that I think most of us are aware of, and we've used this down through church history. Third is Satan, through the Roman Empire, is currently developing again and is trying to make its rise in Europe and in other parts of the world, including the United States, the Middle East, and it is in partnership with the churches of the world. Bullet number three, let me restate this. Satan, through the Roman Empire, which is developing again right now in Europe and in other parts of the world, including the United States and the Middle East, is in partnership with the churches of the world. And it will force people to have what is called in the biblical terms the mark of the beast, or they're not going to be able to buy and sell. Revelation 13. Let's go there. Revelation 13, verse 14. And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. I'm not going into all who is the beast and who's the beast power. It's not part of the sermon. But let's go on. So we see who he's talking about. Verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Some translations use the word sign because it would fit. But mark, you know, we don't typically think about put your sign here. You think about put your mark here. And so that's why they use the word. But it could be the same word. Okay, anyway, verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save or unless he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the verse, next verse goes on and it says, and the number is 666. Actually, some commentaries show that don't be fooled by that because it might be actually 616. Not point of this part of the sermon. Some do believe that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. This is probably too limiting to what the mark or the sign, as is stated in some translations, really is. I do think it's going to include that, but I don't think it's limited just to that. I think it is broader than that. I mean, you listen at the verses again. Verse 17 says, "And that no man might buy or sell unless he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Verse 16 shows that it is in their right hand or in their foreheads. And so it could be simply a mark that he's been accepted. It could be a mark of that he's a Sunday keeper. It could be that he's not a Sabbath keeper. It could be, but we don't really know that. I don't know that it has to be limited, this is the point, to just Sunday keeping or not Sunday keeping, whichever way you want to look at it. In other words, whatever this mark or this sign is, our economic existence is going to be threatened and our faith and our loyalty to God is going to be severely tested, whatever the mark is. And I do state that without a doubt, this will be part of the prophetic significance of the Sabbath and of the Sabbath sign. However, what we need to know, if what we need to understand, that is God in His love and His mercy for us, and through His Word, the Bible, and through His Holy Spirit, and through His church, God gives to us ample, plenty of warning. And He does it Sabbath after Sabbath, week after week, year after year, so that we can know and so that we will be prepared for whatever this tribulation time is that is coming, that's being talked about here in Revelation that we address without going into details of tribulation. So let me ask a question. Is there a prophetic significance of the Sabbath? The answer is yes. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In verses 8, I'm going to give you a list of verses, a number of verses here without reading. This is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. And those verses there in Genesis, and these verses, God says, "And the evening and the morning were the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day." Okay, now go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested," the He there is God, "and God rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." The evening and the morning were the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. You get the point. We understand when the day begins. It begins in darkness. But have you ever really wondered why? I mean, after all, man has tried to come up with all kinds of theories and all kinds of explanations. And in fact, for many, 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 many years now, man has started the day in the middle of the night. You know, it's called midnight. Have you ever really thought about that and go, what the are you doing? You know, what are you trying to do here? Well, if you think about it from the beginning of this sermon to here, I think it should become pretty clear. It is Satan's influence to take man away from the sign of the Sabbath and from the knowledge of the true God. Because God says, this is when the day begins. Man comes along through Satan's inspiration and says, no, it begins in the middle of the night. And that makes about as much sense as you can fill in the blank. But I have another question. Why did God start each day at darkness? Well, because of the lessons that he is teaching us Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. Darkness pictures confusion. It pictures evil and all those other words that we would come up with. We begin in darkness. We begin in evil. And God brings us into his light, into the truth. And as each day of the week also begins the very same way, this cycle culminates when? In the Sabbath. You start with day one of the week. It begins that way. Day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and it culminates in the Sabbath. And what do we mean by culminate? It kind of ends there. Because the cycle just simply starts over. We don't go day 8, day 9, day 10, and now it's 13,700th day. You know, this is day 7. And tomorrow will be day 1. Because it's a cycle, and it repeats itself. It repeats itself. Remember I told you they're trying to propose a calendar that does away with the 7th day cycle? Do you understand more about why they're trying to do this? Whatever their reasons are has nothing to do with the Bible other than he is going to change times and law. Then it is repeated Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. Why? Why did it begin at dark? And every day repeats itself, and then it culminates on the Sabbath, and the cycle starts all over again. Why? Why is this true? Because the light of the Sabbath one day will never end. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Tabernacle of God. Which God being is this referring to? The Father. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The Sabbath is prophetic of no more confusion, of no more evil in the world, only light. And each day of the week shows us that. It begins in darkness and he takes us into light. It begins in darkness and it takes us into light. It's picturesque. And he gives us this in 10 years. 520 times. In 50 years, 2,600 times. So that we can get it, so that we will see it, so that we will understand, so that there would be nothing that is going to take us away from the love of God and wanting to be in the presence of God, in the presence of God's people, and to keep his Sabbath day holy for what it pictures. Now, other things that the Sabbath pictures, I'm not trying to say this is all the Sabbath pictures. I'm just trying to show you something that I think it is very interesting to think about. The Sabbath is prophetic of no more confusion, no more evil in the world, only the light of God, God's truth. This is the sign that Satan wants to take away from mankind. And what we have seen is, and what we know is, he's already done this. There's only a handful of people on the face of the earth that even recognize that the seventh day is the weekly Sabbath, and that day is Saturday as opposed to what they claim as Sunday. Brother, I also want us to please understand is that Satan's great desire is to take away the Sabbath and the knowledge of the true God from you and me. That's what his desire is. The whole rest of the world has already been in that direction. And the sign is, the Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. If people are not doing the Sabbath, are they God's people? The answer is, people say, well, you're really elitist. And I'm just reading what the Bible says. But this is what it says. All people who are not keeping the Sabbath, they currently are not part of God. It's only those who are holding on to the sign of God. And the sign is the Sabbath keeping. And it's not just keeping the Sabbath, it's keeping it holy. So as a result of that, Satan causes us to become routine in our Sabbath keeping. It becomes old hat, it becomes common, and it becomes not too important in how we keep it. After all, we are God's people, and we remember, we keep the Sabbath. And besides, there's another one coming next week, and we just simply do better. Is that how we think? This is what Satan counts on. He counts on us keeping the Sabbath in a routine way because he knows that is not what God desires. And it's not what God accepts. God said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And we need to understand, routine is not keeping it holy. Go with me to the book of Isaiah 58. We could spend an entire sermon or two in Isaiah 58. We're not. I'm going to read two verses. But it's going to tie right into what we're talking about here. Verse 13, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. And brethren, please understand, saying the Sabbath is a delight doesn't make the Sabbath a delight. It's keeping it holy that makes it a delight. Saying the words isn't sufficient. It's doing. And calling it a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and should honor him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then, after you've done that, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, because God said so. As I stated earlier, God in his love and his mercy, and through his word, the Bible, and through his Holy Spirit, and through his church, he gives us plenty of warning. Sabbath after Sabbath. That's the intent, to give us this. So that we can know and that we will be prepared, and so that we will keep the true God before us at all times. Now it's up to us. Now it's up to all of us. And what I would ask is that we would let each one of us greatly appreciate each and every Sabbath, that we can have them in peace and in safety and without persecution that we know is going to come. The Sabbath is a very special gift from God. It is a sign that will always keep us in the knowledge of the true God. Happy Sabbaths to you all. and the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.